Former President Reagan will be buried at sunset tonight in a private service for family and friends. The service will be on the hilltop grounds of his presidential library and museum in Simi Valley, California. In the days to come, people will be able to visit Mr. Reagan's grave after viewing an exhibit that presents him as his admirers remember him. NPR's Ina Jaffe reports.
You're rarely beyond the sound of Ronald Reagan's voice here. He's the museum's only story, and the great communicator often tells that story himself, beginning with his childhood in Dixon, Illinois.
We learned from our parents that individuals determine their own destiny. That is, it's largely their own ambition and hard work that determine their fate in life.
The artifacts here from Mr. Reagan's early years don't particularly point to the White House as his fate in life, though Duke Blackwood, the director of the Reagan Library and Museum, points out what might be considered the building blocks of a legend in the display on Mr. Reagan's youth.
There's a couple of interesting items, the first of which is the picture of him as a lifeguard. He saved over 70 lives as a lifeguard and was quite a talented swimmer. Another important artifact that we have here is his Letterman sweater at Eureka College, where he, quote, played football.
Mr. Reagan's career as a movie star is mostly confined to one large wall of photo collage. There is one picture of the former president with his first wife, actress Jane Wyman, and their two children, Michael and Maureen. But the centerpiece of this section is a larger photo of Mr. Reagan and Nancy Davis Reagan, holding hands in a booth at the Store Club, looking very much in love. It's one of many, many such pictures throughout the museum. Again, Duke Blackwood.
Mrs. Reagan donated to the library all of the love letters, the cards, the telegrams, the notes, over 50 years of a love affair, and it's a different side of the man that people don't normally see.
As for Mr. Reagan's 8 years as governor of California, there's not much more about that here than there is about his time in Hollywood, as if his entire career before the White House was just a warm-up act. Yet once he became president, says Duke Blackwood, he maintained that personal touch, even in the most serious circumstances.
We have replicas of the handwritten letters that President Reagan sent to Brezhnev and to Chernyenko and to Gorbachev. President Reagan, to the dislike of it, some of his advisors wanted to do it personally. So he would write these letters in handwriting. I think the president was smart enough to know that this is a personal touch to be able to get through the facade, so to speak, the toughness of these world leaders. And it worked.
There's not much mention here of what didn't work. There are several paragraphs on the Iran-Contra scandal, including Mr. Reagan's statement acknowledging that arms were traded for hostages, though there's surely much more on that and every other topic in the archives downstairs.
We're looking at a large room that is about 60 yards long and about 20 yards wide.
The view is disorienting. The opposite wall so far away you seem to be peering the wrong way through a telescope.
And every 4 feet is an 8-foot tile, double-sided rack of cartons. Now this is one-third of what we have.
The archives deal with every aspect of the Reagan presidency, but the museum that the public sees limits its focus. Tax cuts, military strength, fighting communism, arms control, and the power and dignity of the presidency itself. The latter is conveyed by an exact full-scale replica of the Oval Office. On the wall just outside, Duke Blackwood points to the final words that Mr. Reagan wrote to the American people.
I have recently been told that I am one of the millions of Americans who will be afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
The handwriting in this letter is more gnarled and cramped than in the ones Mr. Reagan wrote years earlier to the leaders of the Soviet Union. Duke Blackwood struggles a bit as he reads.
As it ends, I now begin the journey that will lead me into the sunset of my life. I know that for Americans, there will always be a bright dawn ahead. Thank you, my friends. May God bless. May God always bless you. Sincerely, Ronald Reagan. You can't say it any better than that.
Behind the museum, there is a circular walkway where visitors will be able to file around the grave of Ronald Reagan, and Mrs. Reagan, too, someday. But Mr. Reagan's admirers would say that his true monument is about 100 feet away across the lawn. There, with the mountains and ocean as backdrop, is a 3-ton slab of the Berlin Wall, a concrete trophy of the defeat of communism. Though the wall came down a year after Mr. Reagan left office, to legions of Reaganites, it was his achievement nonetheless. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Simi Valley, California.